Good afternoon, Wrangell. It is 1 p.m. and you're listening to Talk on the Rock, your community affairs show. This week, we won't be taking call-ins to the show due to some unfortunate technical difficulties, but thanks very much for tuning in. But it is our fall spooktacular pledge drive week, so you can call in to donate to KSDK to keep shows like Talk on the Rock on the air. That is 874-2345 or online at ksdk.org. Today's Talk on the Rock guest is Wrangell's Mayor, Steve Prasunka. Welcome to Talk on the Rock, Mayor Prasunka.
Hey, thanks very much, Sage. Appreciate it.
I'm glad that you're here. So we're 1 week out from the state and national election, including the presidential election. And our municipal election was at the beginning of this month, and you were reelected for a second term. Tell me, how is your second term going so far?
Well, it's much the same as the first term, I would say. I really feel like unfortunately, it's been crisis to crisis. And the only good news is we don't have a drought anymore. How about that? That sounds pretty good. There's just a lot of COVID stuff going on for us, but there is life outside of COVID, and we've been busy with trying to work on our union negotiations with our city employees. And I know that our city manager, Lisa Von Bargen, has been actively engaged with that, with Carol Rushmore, our economic development director, our vice mayor, Patty Gilbert, and Assemblymember Morrison, Ann Morrison, have been working really hard in the negotiations with the union. So that's been taking up a lot of Lisa's time. But also, we've been trying to get other projects off the ground. We just did a workshop on our new water plant. And there was some interesting questions came up about that, mostly around the size of the various trains that they're putting in that the water processes through, and trying to get a handle on what is enough capacity for the community. And you don't want to underbuild, but by the same token, you don't want to overbuild, because if you overbuild and strand the asset, you're paying for that. You know, you want to bring stuff online at the right time. So that's been, I know for a lot of the city staff, they've been working hard at trying to pull all those details together in order to start really moving forward in earnest on that. So there's been a lot of good information going on there. And then we've been dealing with the various infrastructure issues that the community's been suffering from. And you know, I'll just say that these didn't just start yesterday. They've been going on for years, decades, really, that we have not gotten around to replacing things in a timely manner, to at times not perhaps performing the maintenance that needed to be done. And now we are going to pay the piper on that. And so we've been trying to prioritize those projects at the same time with decreased funds from state, decreased funds from the feds, and global pandemic. So I will say Lisa and her staff have been incredibly busy, and the assembly is doing all that we can to support those efforts.
It sounds like that's a lot to have going on. I mean, I definitely know that from my side of getting to know the community in the first few months that I've been here, I have seen some of those, like the water plant, for example, where every year in the water report, they say, well, our water plant isn't really right for our community, and that's why we keep having these what are they called? The haloacetic acids in the water because of this, that, and the other.
Finally get to use my chemistry degree.
There you go. You knew it was coming handy someday. You know, public radio would be where it would shine.
No, definitely not. But
I, in getting to know the community as well, I honestly was very, very surprised. I don't have a ton of experience with local municipal politics, and I was honestly very surprised by the sort of nonpartisan, very civil nature of our local election here in Wrangell. It was kind of a breath of fresh air compared to most elections that I've had the, you could say, pleasure of experiencing. Is that the norm? Are Wrangell's municipal elections generally pretty civil and nonpartisan?
Yeah, I think they are. And, you know, I think there's issues that come up during an election that people are passionate about. But overall, yeah, it's nonpartisan. There's no right or left. You know, really, in many ways, municipal government, I've said this for years, is the purest form of government there is. You've got a group of well-meaning people get together every second Tuesday and try to figure out how to keep the water clean and the sewage going away. You know, they're not really sexy issues, but they are important issues to a community. And so how will we fund our schools, and how will we try to get the roads paved and the water lines replaced? So the issues are really truly grassroots issues. And so no, I really don't see it as partisan politics at all. And I know on the assembly, I've made some great friends who, in terms of politics, we are on opposite ends of the spectrum, but great people. And when we come together to do our Tuesday evening thing, all that goes out the window. So I may disagree with something that they say, but it's not due to right or left. It's just disagree with them, which is kind of unique right now. We just seems everything's so polarized, unfortunately.
Definitely. I mean, our local election was so civil and nonpartisan and really not contentious at all. But I mean, I'm thinking we're, like I said, a week out from the national election, thinking of the fact that a bunch of people in Alaska last week got threatening emails purportedly from Iran, and just the way that the national, I mean, in the Alaska sense, if we look at the Senate and House campaigns, those are some spicy campaigns that are going on. I cannot escape that.
He killed a bear. Those ads from Al Gross.
Yeah, and I'm tired of hearing about the bear killing too.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a single person in Alaska who hasn't heard about the bear, but I think even in southern southeast Alaska, I hosted a state house candidate debate last week for our district 36, and the candidate's representative Ortez, who's represented this area for I think 6 or 7 years now and is running for his 8th year, which would be his 4th term if I did that math right, and there was some conflict because of that perceived incivility in campaign ads. And I'm wondering if, taking into account Rangel and just the way that the political climate is, if you have any worries for Rangel as we're looking down the barrel of what's been a very contentious national election cycle, if there are things that you're looking at as the mayor of this small, pretty tight-knit community. And I mean, again, even taking into account the Alaska level, those races for Senate and House that have been contentious, how do you see that panning out in Rangel?
Well, yes, how do I say it? So first of all, one of the things that I worry about is the extreme views that are being espoused on both sides if the other side wins. That if Biden wins, we're going to descend into socialism and ultimate chaos, and there'll be riots in the street. And if Trump wins, it will be, you know, Hitler's return. You know, all this incredible rhetoric that is not true. I mean, we didn't see it when Obama won. We didn't see it when Trump won. We haven't descended into absolute dark madness either time. And we have, I like to think that we have checks and balances in our political system that allows to prevent that sort of thing. But with that said, I do worry about the civil, just sort of the civility in our community. And, you know, I have friends that are really, really staunch conservatives and big time Trump supporters. I'm not, that's not my flavor, but I can still be friends with these people. And as a matter of fact, Assemblymember Powell and I have a bet. The other, whosoever team wins, the other guy has to wear the t-shirt. So I'll be wearing a Trump t-shirt going out for dinner at the Stick, and I have to buy him dinner. So, I mean, there's a way for us to come together, and I will continue to do what I'm doing, and Dave will continue to do what he's doing to support our community, regardless of who wins. And so, you know, my message to the community is, if you win, be a gracious winner. And if you lose, accept that that was the will. I mean, either way, we need to be good with each other. And Rangel comes together. Lynn and I have lived in the community for 25 years now, and we've been through some pretty hard times and pretty awful things. And to be honest with you, some of the things that we've experienced with our friends' intense personal losses, it's hard for me to get too whipped out of shape about if Trump wins after, you know, the 6 months or 5 months that we've gone through with our friends. So I really just want to encourage everyone to be gracious and support each other and understand that some people will be upset, and there's no reason to rub salt in those wounds. So I'm hopeful, and Rangel always comes through in the crunch. I just honestly believe that, Sage.
That's a really wonderful thing to hear about a community. I mean, I've definitely noticed in being here that people do seem to come together regardless of politics. And I will admit, I haven't been in a place where people are so outward with their signs in their yards and flags on cars and stuff. But to kind of see the breakdown of that's the way people express their politics here, but that people do come together. I know I moved here in the wake of an absolutely immense, unimaginable tragedy, and that the city and the borough and the people here can get past those things and kind of put things in perspective, I think is so important, that there are those issues, and that the community comes above politics, and recognizing, like you said, that things haven't fallen apart the last few elections, and there's no reason for them to fall apart no matter what happens a week from now. Whatever goes down is not going to be the end of life here in Wrangell.
But I'll remind my liberal friends, oh my goodness, it was the end of the world if Bush won. It was the end of the world. We were all doomed, and it was going to go to hell. And for my conservative friends, if Obama won, it was the end of the world as we knew it. And this is sort of a ploy that we get sucked into, and it's amplified with social media. And you know, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, we just need to continue being gracious and work with each other to make Wrangell a really great place. And I'll just say, as far as signs and flags, I love it. I love it. I think it's great. I think it's great that young people have flags and are driving around with the flags in their truck. They're engaged. They're at least having a discussion somewhere about something. And whether it's, again, my flavor or someone else's flavor, I'm just glad that young people are engaged enough to think forward and be involved in the process. And I hope that translates down the road, that A, they'll vote, and B, they may get involved in municipal politics or some other form of municipal government, whether it's Parks and Rec Board or the Planning and Zoning Committee or the Friends of the Wrangell Museum. I don't care what it is, but I like to see people engaged. So again, I take it, whatever the engagement is, I think it's positive.
I definitely agree with that. In high school, I did constitutional debate. So I did a whole lot of research about civics and Supreme. My specialty was Supreme Court case law. And so I did a lot of research about the changes in wind in the Supreme Court and everything. I mean, which is another aspect, another facet of political things that are going on right now. But I definitely think that political engagement is something that's incredibly important and gets a bit lost, I think, a lot of times in people's everyday lives nowadays, that so many things happen online, things can get really lost online. And I do appreciate that people are loud and proud about their politics wherever they are, and here not being an exception to that at all.
For sure. And I would just also put a plug in for early voting. Get out there and vote early. We went down on Monday and voted early, and it's so easy to do. And I am a bit concerned. I mean, we're seeing massive turnout across the nation, but in Alaska, the last report I had was we had over 50,000 early votes, early voters. That's massive for us. And so I think we're going to see a great turnout this year, which is fantastic, and we want that. But I'm worried that if we get overwhelmed because of sort of the mitigation efforts that we'll have in place at the polling station for in person, on election day. I'm really encouraging everybody, get out, vote early, get it done. And it's so easy. Head down to City Hall. You have until this Friday, and I believe it's 8 till 4, I think, for early voting. So get on down. It couldn't be simpler.
And especially in a community like Wrangell, it's so much easier. I am from Oregon, so I actually hadn't ever been to a polling station until I came here because we vote by mail. I've voted by mail my whole life, but it's in a community like Wrangell. I've been talking about this with the other reporters in Alaska and with my editor about the fact that this election is going to be a bit different in a lot of areas of the U.S. just because of all that early voting, of the fact that returns, that the result of the election is probably going to be a bit later coming, and just thinking about the fact that here in Wrangell, that's a bit different. We have the opportunity to, yes, vote in person, but also early votes get counted the next day. You know, they get counted so quickly. And so it's an incredible opportunity to be able to maybe not see the results of the full state's election or see the results of the nation's election, but we will know. I mean, I'm going to be at work late. I'm going to put out the results of the election, the preliminary results, as soon as we have them, which will be later that night. And that's a huge blessing. And to get to know how Wrangell voted and have that be something that's established and kind of behind us so quickly is really unique and something that I think Wrangell is very lucky to have.
For sure. And we just have such wonderful volunteers that pull off these elections. And I'm just thrilled that we have a young high school student that's also doing for her on-the-job training. Elizabeth, I believe her name is down there helping out. And so all of that just adds to the beauty of the whole thing for me. But, you know, we came here from Canada, and when we moved here for the first 15 years, we were unable to vote, and then we got our citizenship and got the right to vote. And it was one of the things that bothered me the most was that I couldn't vote. And so if you lose that ability, or you come to a country and you don't have it, it's extra special to be able to do it. And I know that it's voluntary, but I just want to encourage everybody to get out and do it. It's a lot of places in the world, you don't get to vote. You don't get a say. And regardless of all the sort of skepticism and the negativity and the whatever about, you know, rigged elections and this and that, bottom line is do your part. You're asked every couple of years to go do it, vote. And it feels good. So, yeah.
I totally agree with that. And I also think I would point out that here in Wrangell, first of all, in terms of rigged elections and stuff, we get a really amazing amount of election transparency. I mean, that happens everywhere. But here, you can zoom in and watch them count the ballots. You can watch them count them. You can watch them open all of the mail-in ballots. And, like, that's really cool. I was so excited to get to do that for the municipal election. And then also, in terms of voting, I think something that I would just say, I hope I'm allowed to advocate for vote. Sometimes with journalistic objectivity, I think voting is objectively a good thing. So you can also go, and if you're not registered, you can request a provisional ballot, and maybe that will be rejected. But, you know, the worst thing they can do is not accept your ballot because it didn't get registered in time or whatever, but it is your right to request a ballot even if you aren't registered to vote, and it is up to the canvas board and the people certifying the election to decide whether or not that gets counted, whether or not that's legal. But that even if you're not registered, that you can go and at least try to vote if you are a resident of Alaska and of Wrangell.
Yeah, for sure. And I can't say enough about Sarah Merritt and her work with elections, and Kim Lane. They sort of spearhead our elections for us, and they do such an amazing job each year. One thing I will mention is just a reminder that polling stations, you know, we have rules about advertising within so many feet of a polling station, and that applies to early voting too. So if you have a big flag on your truck, that's fantastic. Good for you. Fly with pride. But you can't be within so many feet of the early polling station, which is City Hall, and of the Nolan Center, where we have our regular election. And that goes for sandwich board signs or picket signs or standing out front yelling your favorite, all that, we, you know, that is, that's not our law. That's not the city's law. That's state law. And so just a reminder, nobody's out to get you, that we're not picking a team here. It's just, that's the rules. So just a reminder to everyone to remember that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure it's 200 feet within the either early voting place, which is City Hall, or the polling station, the Nolan Center, that Sarah Merritt, when I went down for the municipal election, was mentioning that, that she's totally fine if someone accidentally wears a button or a hat or something, telling them that they have to leave, but that especially with vehicles, she wants people to make sure if there's something on your vehicle that you just make sure to park outside the signs so that there's no legal issue with your vote. Because it is, it's your right to vote, but you don't want to jeopardize that by accidentally putting something out there that is against state law.
For sure, for sure. Sage, can we talk a little bit about the situation in the state with COVID right now? I would just love to stay on positive topics, but
absolutely.
You know, we saw 526 new cases yesterday and 348 cases today. I'm going to say the 526. There is some sort of caveats to that, and one of them is that they're having a hard time keeping up with data entry. And so some of those cases, although they all reported yesterday, more than likely that was some other cases from, that were a bit delayed getting to it. So that number may not be quite as stark as we think, but they're still new cases. The 348 today, my understanding is they're getting caught up. And so that's probably more realistic, but we've been triple digits for well over a month now. And
I mean, if you look at the chart, it's so stark, just an absolute acceleration in the number of cases.
It really is. And, you know, and my worry as a mayor is that we are not a self-contained medical apparatus. We really are not. That the hospital decided early on that their surge plan was going to be to ship to available beds within state or out of state if they have a COVID positive person. Couple reasons. One, they don't have the staff. They have three doctors and that's it. And then the nursing staff, they have only so many nurses and only so many nurses that, you know, will be able to work the ventilators and do the intensive stuff. We also don't have the space. So to have a COVID ward, that's not a possibility for us. So they made the decision to ship patients out. That is really part of our limiting factor for, you know, getting people sick in our community is finding a bed if they need hospitalization. Now, currently, Southeast Alaska, specifically Southern Southeast, is a bit of an anomaly. We are squarely in the still good zone. You know, and I won't say it's green, but we're doing well compared to up north Anchorage or the Delta. They're not doing as well. I am worried about bed availability out of Anchorage, and I'm worried about bed availability becoming overwhelmed in Sitka and Juneau. And then I've also had reports that there's diversions from other states into Seattle for COVID patients because I believe it was Northern Idaho had just gone in, they just were overwhelmed with cases. So so that changes the whole sort of threat matrix in terms of if we could probably handle five cases, but if we have two cases that we can't find beds for, that changes everything. That changes our whole ability to respond. And so we're going to be talking about this tomorrow night. Captain Spray is coming in from EOC, and we're sort of going to try to lay out for the assembly where things are at and what's happening. But I am really worried right now with the escalation in cases. We know Petersburg had another case yesterday, and I'm fearful that it's just a matter of time till we start to see more cases here. So with that said, the same thing we've been screaming about, wear a mask. It really is not that huge of an inconvenience. And if you can, I mean, if you have some medical reason, genuine medical reason, I totally get not wearing a mask, but there's even other options then. But let's, you know, I'm nervous. I'm I don't want to say anything that causes panic, but I really am encouraging the community to stay vigilant.
I mean, maybe the phrase false sense of security is a little too strong, but I have definitely personally been thinking about this because I have family down in the lower 48 and they'll talk about their case counts and everything. And I told them how I just got medevac insurance just in case anything ever happens. Hopefully it's not COVID. Hopefully I never break a bone so badly I need to be medevaced somewhere. But the fact that the medical system in this area is just so different. It's not like a place in the lower 48 where there are all these multiple hospitals and everything. Like you're saying, Sitka is what, a level 4 trauma center, and Seattle's the nearest level 1 trauma center. And so it's just as much as we haven't had cases, and that's so amazing. And I'm really glad that there are these little semblances of kind of a regular non-pandemic life. It is definitely, I need to keep more in my mind sometimes. I think that I need to be as careful as possible and make sure that I'm not forgetting that there is this possibility that because the plane does pass through going north and south every day, that it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that things could spread pretty quickly, especially if I'm not being as careful as maybe I should, if I do start to go places unmasked and start to make my bubble bigger, which, again, it is a big temptation. It's been so long with this quarantine and with trying to keep bubbles small, and it's exhausting. It's definitely very exhausting, but I've been thinking about this as I, the other night, bought some medevac insurance, just worrying a bit that what if something went wrong?
Well, you know, you're wise to buy medevac insurance, and anyone who, you know, who has the ability to buy it, it's a wise investment, because you just never know if you're going to need it. And we can do a little prevention here. And I know that there's all kinds of, again, it's been heavily politicized. Mask wearing has been heavily politicized, and there's people who don't believe that it's real and all those things. And I'm not going to change those folks' mind. But what I'm asking is that if you are willing to, we would really request at the city. And a big chunk of it is economics. We're able to keep our stores open. We're able to keep, you know, the bars open and businesses open and not go into another lockdown. And that's really what we want. We don't want to have to go into that lockdown phase that's either mandated by the state or if it was mandated by the city because we had some massive outbreak. But that, you know, if you don't believe it's even real for yourself, think about the businesses and think about folks that are relying on people coming in and spending money in their shop or being able to come buy a motor or whatever it might be. Think about those folks. And it's such a small thing to do. It really, and if you need masks, we can arrange. The city has still a supply of masks. So, you know, this should be able to get her done.
Definitely. Well, is there anything else on your mind? I guess we've kind of had a little...
No.
What is the mayor worried about has been this talk on the rock.
I think it's excellent, and we'll keep encouraging everyone to tune in to the city meetings and stay engaged and stay involved. And thank you, Sage, for arranging for me to be able to come and talk today.
Thank you very much, Mayor. You've been listening to Talk on the Rock, KSTK's Community Issues Show. Thanks so much for listening. That was Mayor Steve Prasenka. It is our fall spooktacular pledge drive week, so you can call in to donate to KSTK to keep shows like Talk on the Rock on the air. That is 874-2345 or online at kstk.org.